Okay. No, I hope that the new year brings us to being able to return to learning Torah in a regular way. Not to say that the Zoom is not a good thing. It's able to reach people, but the people that are here, we should be able to sit together in a normal way and learn and talk. It's crazy. I think we've been like 20 Zooms this week, different things, and it's not normal. Okay, let's learn. We just have another one or two shiurim, learning the Mishnah Se'ezer, learning the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Chav Gimel. The halachas that are very, very important for us to know. And we're learning about the tikkunim that the post can bring down. I'm not going into what the Svarma Kadoshim say. After we learn the Midah of Yisod, we'll go into some of that. We'll spend time on that. But we're learning what the post can bring down. Tikkunim, when it comes to this issue, this problem of Pagam HaBris. Now we're on page Tof Nun. Again, I hope that you have the pages from before. They should be up there somewhere, somehow, I don't know. And we're Mishnah Se'ezer on page Tof Nun, the second wide line on the bottom, in the Biurim. Second wide line in the Biurim. Now remember, the source of, because we didn't have for a few weeks, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch himself says that Ovan Zeh Chomer Mikol Averis Shebetayr. That sentence in Shulchan Aruch is one of the most heartbreaking, heart-wrenching sentences that's found anywhere in all of Torah. Those words, Ovon V'Ovon Zeh, this sin, this Avera of Pgam HaBris, Chomer Mikol Averis Shebetayr, is more serious, chomor, mikol averis shebetar, of all averis in the Torah. Now we, just to review for a second. Now what we learned is that there are many great poskim, and achronim led by the Pnei Yeshua, Rav Tzadik HaKohen has a whole long piece in Takanas HaShavim, maybe we'll do part of it, and many, many other great poskim, great achronim, who immediately jump to the defense of a person who has gone through this in his life, which is 99.9% of the population, and says that it cannot be. It cannot be. What does that mean? That is the most serious aveir. What does the Mechaber mean? That is the most serious aveir of the Torah. When we don't even have a clear beferish source, we went through the Mekaris. We went through the different shittas. It's not clear that it's a deraisa. And even if it's a deraisa, it's not, where do we see that such a person would get malchus? And even if you say that there's such a thing that this person would get malchus, how do we learn that out from the Torah? And even if you would say such a thing, it's not beharik v'yaver. How could it be? We even saw last time, a few weeks ago, we saw the famous Sefer Chassidim, where the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, says that in a situation where a guy feels that he has no control of himself and he's going to be over with an Eishes Ish, he's going to chas v'shalom do an aveir with a woman, with a married woman or something, that it's better that he spills his own seed than doing such an aveir. So clearly, we're not talking here about Yehurig v'yaver. And what we learned is that the Mechaber's sentence that Oven Zechomi Mikol Avesha B'Tayra goes back to the Zohar Kodesh and Parshas Vayesha. Where the Zohar says very strong, very, very strong things. And what we learned a few weeks ago, the last year, was that particular piece of the Zohar Kodesh and Vayeshev is not the only thing that the Zohar has to say about this aveira of Pagam HaBris. And one has to have the entire picture to know the truth of the Zohar's opinion. We're not arguing if the Mechaber says Oven Zeh Chomim Mikol HaBeis Rebetorah. We're going to learn when we spend weeks and months discussing the Midah of Yesod. We're going to learn that when a person's Midah of Yesod is malfunctioning, it is the most serious problem in the world. It means the marriage can't work. It means many things with Parnassah fall apart. It's all connected to this problem of Pagam Habris, of a person having an issue with malfunctioning Yesod. That is the most chamadikah thing in a man's life, no question. Women don't have this inyan. But in a man's life, there's nothing as destructive as Pagam Habris. But what does that mean? We didn't learn yet. And what can anything be done to overcome that? So when you find the quotation of this Mechaber, together with the Zohar and Parashas Vayeshev, which sounds like there's no such thing as doing tshuva, and that the person is like done, he's cooked, he's finished. Like, you know, don't bother buying tickets for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, he's done. So that's how many kids have heard this. That's how many misguided rabbis or rebbeim over the centuries have presented it. Even boys that I've met that are the biggest amaratzim that can't read the cover of Bava Metzia, and they don't even know what it means, you know, a Gemara, to read a Mishnah or a Gemara. One thing they heard of is that there's no tshuva for this aveir. Like, they don't know anything. They don't know the Lamates Mulachas, but they know that they know this Zohar. They don't know who wrote the Zohar. They don't know what it's that. They don't know but the one thing they heard is that this is the biggest aveir in the Torah. They never read Shulchan Aruch. They can't spell Shulchan Aruch, but they heard that the Shulchan Aruch says such a thing. Now, one can't lie. There are very strong things that are found. We saw in Shulchan Aruch and in the Zohar. But what we saw last time is that Rabbi Yaakov the Yaivitz, other great tzaddikim, was saying it simply cannot be. It's impossible. That Rabbi Shimon, that the Zohar Kaddish, Rabbi Yehuda and the Zohar, that the Balei HaZohar should seal the fate of a Jew, when everything in Torah says that a Jew could always do tshuva. Everything in Torah, in Bavli, in Yerushalmi, in Medrash, and in the Zohar itself, says that a Jew could always do tshuva and is always welcomed back by Hashem. So what we saw is that, first of all, besides Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Tzadik and many other Achronim and Tzadikim, the Zohar itself, in different places, the Zohar itself clearly states and implies in many places that there is tshuva. That there is tshuva. And that we should get the guy a seat for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's tshuva. There's tshuva and there are tikkunim. I had some people here this morning, and I was talking to one of these people, a Baal Shuva, and she said to me, "Boy, yesterday was a rough parasha." So I said, "What did you find hard about it?" You know, I guess she read past the Bikurim, you know. So I said, "What did you find hard about it?" She said, "Wow, you know, God really like has it in for us, you know." She read the English of the Klolos, you know. We didn't do that. We just read it, you know, fast. So she read it slowly. She said, you know, like, it's bad stuff over there. God really, you know, he's angry. He's got a lot, he's got all these curses. So it says those things in Chumash. But everybody here knows, you all know, that when the tzaddikim, like the Alter Rebbe, when he would read the Teichacha, so his son, the Mittler Rebbe, heard every single blessing, every bracha, and every curse that the Alter Rebbe was reading, because the Alter Rebbe is the Balkari. And when somebody else lain, so the Mittler Rebbe is a boy, then he would start crying and sobbing because he only heard the curses. You have to be very, very careful, because there's no question, like Rabbi Leiger gives an example of a kid that's misbehaving, and the mother or the father goes running after the kid to give a patch. So unfortunately there are some parents who actually do give a patch. But I didn't come from my home like that. My parents never patched me. My father did one time, but it was very calm. I told it over in shul once. It was very calm. He He didn't yell at me, didn't say anything. He just quietly, around a half hour after I did that aveira, I was around 9 or something, he just said, lie down on the couch with you, and he just gave me a good bash, good. And then afterwards, he made nice on my head, and he said, don't do it again. My mother used to sometimes chase after me. I remember once under the bed, she came after me with a stick to give me a shtach. And other than that, but I don't recall ever any kind of violence in the house. And by my mother, however, there were probably thousands of times that she threatened to do something to me. I'm going to do this to you. You're not going to have anything to eat. I'm not going to give you the. My mother was with the threats in English and Hungarian threats. I had a lot of threats. But then I would say, okay, Mama, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And she would start to cry, and she'd apologize to me. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'd never do that to you. And she would bring me things, my favorite food she would make that night. That was the discipline in the Weinberger home. And Reb Leib Leger says, like, he says like that too. Hashem Yisbarach says, oh, am I going to give it to you? In the meantime, everybody knows that Beis Din didn't do it, Sanhedrin didn't do it. The Ben Stor Emor, lo hayah v'lo yiyah. Never was and never will be. And there was never such a child, there was never such a Jew, and there was never such a punishment. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo was like my mother. And he comes after you with a stick, and he does this, and he says, I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to have like this, you're going to have like that. And then we say, oh, listen, I don't mean it, you know, Hashem Lebagadnu Gazanu. And then the Baruch Shalom says, oi, all your various became mitzvahs. I love you. You're you're my best boy. Oi, Moshe, I didn't mean what I told you. I never meant it. That's what Leib Leger says. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it. But if you want, I can show you inside how he says it. Almost like my mother. Reb Leib Leger, Reb Akiva Eger's grandson. It's a good yichus. So the Zohar Kodesh says, oi, are you going to get it? You're pogrom in the bris. You know what the bris is? You're going to get it. Your whole life is messed up. There's no tshuva. You're finished. Don't come to shul. Even with a mask, you're not coming to shul. You can't come to shul. You're finished. It's all a tactic. It's all a mahalach to bring us back, which nowadays doesn't work nowadays. In the past, sometimes it did. So, let's look inside. Mishnah, we're in the Biurim of Mishnah Seizer. I think we just need one or two more weeks to finish this part of the Mishnah Seizer. The Zohar Kaddish we learned already last time, that it's quite clear from a number of other places in the Zohar Kaddish that Shuvah does work. And the Reish Chacham Mesua Ksav Yad of the Zohar, where it says, Ba B'chela D'tiyufta, it means that the Zohar says in a few places that tshuva works for Pagama Bris, but it has to be the chela de tiyufta, which means sincere, strong tshuva. Strong tshuva works. Sincere, heartfelt tshuva works. Now, in the first wide line, look where it says, that's what we're up to. That Reb Chaim V'lozhna asked the Vilna Goyin. Again, we're on page Tuf Nun in the Biurim, the first wide line. Shasor loy lahagra. Reb Chaim V'lozhna asked the Vilna Goyin. B'misha nechshal b'keri kemat b'pesha, rachmar l'shlan, this is what the listing he did. Was that there was somebody that was nechshal. He had, during the night, he spilled seed. But it was kemat b'pesha, which means that he had been doing things that were not right. And it was kemat b'pesha. Maybe he didn't actually masturbate to cause that to happen, but he was looking at things or thinking about whatever it was. It wasn't a good situation. V'heshev kesha oisik b'teira ein tzarech l'doi klal. I asked the Vilna Goyin. Reb Chaim V'lozhna is not saying I heard from somebody. Reb Chaim V'lozhna said, I asked my Rebbe the Vilna Goyin. Reb Chaim V'lozhna said, I asked the Vilna Goyin. And the Vilna Goyin said, kesha oisik b'teira, learn teira, ein tzarech l'doi klal. He's not Reb Leib Leger. He's not a chassid. The Vilna Gaon wasn't a chassidish rebbe. And he said, "Ein tzarach lidoik klal," not to worry about it, not to think about it at all. Va'afalpi. Let's continue. Va'afalpi shebetikunim v'sifrei musa chmirah ma'id b'zeh. in the tikkunim and of the Zohar Kodesh, and the tikkunim that we have from the Arizal and so on, and the Musa Sfarim, they're very machmir with this, and they give all kinds of things, you know, going into ice water and fasting. Fasting for 40 days, not in the winter, fasting for 40 days in the summer, fasting 40 days, right? And the Sfarim have all kinds of tikkunim. In the Sefer Tikkunim, which gives all the different tikkunim from the Chassidi Ashkenaz and Mekubalim for different Aveiros, nimtza davar tov lemeivin shekosav, aval araisa oirach yom yamina. After giving these horrible, impossible tikkunim of fasting, and you know, Gilgul and Shelig rolling in the snow and going into mikvahs of ice, at the end of aval araisa oirach yom yamina. But there's one path that's called the path of Torah. Aruch Yomim B'Yemina, Perish Shematzelis Ben Hamisa. The Torah is Aruch Yomim, Torah gives long life. And the final thing is that if a person who has been guilty of this, doesn't mean once or twice, but on a regular basis, in a regular way, has been Pogim in the Bris, if he pours himself into learning Torah, he strengthens his Limudat Torah, he'll live a long life, and Hashem will forgive him. He can do tshuva. The problem is that the Sifrei Musar did not bring the end of what's written in the Tikkunim. In the Tikkunim, it says at the end, "Avol Araisa Aruch Yom B'Yamina." But if you learn Torah, Aruch Yom B'Yamina, like the Vilna Gaon said, learn Torah, and it's not right. The Sifrei Musar did not bring that ending. Now, why did they not do that? In those years, in those times, they believed that the only thing that was going to really work would be to play hardball with these guys, and to terrify them, and to force them into tshuva. But the Sifrei Musar did not bring the end of the Tikkunim where it says, Torah, learn Torah. Those are letters from the Stipler. Now, the Stipler also, as you know, was Tzadik Yisod Olam. And the Stipler, even though the Stipler came from a Chassidish family, his father was a Chassid of the Haran Stipler. Nevertheless, the Stipler himself was not a Chassid. He learned in the Vardik, and neither was his son. He should have long, healthy years, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. But the letters of the Stipler, he writes in a number of places, letters to young men and older men who are struggling with Pagam HaBris. And it's interesting, the Stipler's letters are very, very forward-thinking. He had very modern, up-to-date sensibilities, the Stipler, which many tzaddikim didn't have that. They were great tzaddikim, but they were in the past. The Stipler was very much with the generation. And in one of the letters, he writes, If somebody, he's not talking about, again, intentional spilling of seed, but somebody shirah carry that had it at night, which, again, there are all kinds of tikkunim that have brought down very harsh fasts, tikkunim. The Stipler wrote, Chas v'sholm chalidah loy lesanos. The Stipler wrote, God forbid that he should fast. Chas v'chalila. Chas v'sham chalila l'sanes. Ki b'emes lo'ainsai ein zachei klal. He said, but it happens if a person didn't do it intentionally and he had a dream like that or something happened, it's not a sin at all. Afilu k'she'ena lo'ainsai. Now listen to what he says. Afilu k'she'ena lo'ainsai, which means even if somebody didn't just have a dream, but he did something and as a result of that, he caused himself to be poigim in the bris, that there was Zerul of Atala. Lo zu aderech l'sakein, this is not the way to fix anything, aidei tanesim, through fasting, hamachlishim esaguf, that weaken the person. V'ikra atikinu aidei esa katayra kemavu abizaya, the ikra atikin the Stipler writes is by learning Torah. By this individual spending more time making a new Seder and learning and trying to learn Torah, especially as we learned earlier, learning Torah, Be'iyun, to at least have part of the time that he learns that it should be in great depth, to learn bi'iyun. Shuv ve'isi b'rashi, the mefurish shamoyel shuv on page tuf nun aleph, lo'avon zeh, and we see b'ferish and rashi, that tshuva works for this aveira, v'zeh l'shainai. This is what Rashi says. Agam is b'nei and so on, v'zeh shvichas adam, shvideyem. We learned when it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel, it says that sachatu, that the boys were squeezing out. And what is it talking about? That they're killing, it's like compared to murder, that they're squeezing out seed. In other words, that they were doing that aveira of Sheikh Vazar Levatala. Zel Shvichas Dam Shri Biyadayim. Klemesh Yetziyah Zer Levatala Biyadayim, which we learned that is one of the Makaris. Well, they also tshuva. Rashi says that they were doing this aveira, which is compared, they were masturbating. And that aveira is compared to murder. And Rashi says, "V'loy also tshuva." They didn't want to do tshuva. They didn't do tshuva. Obviously, Rashi holds what? Rashi holds that there is tshuva for this, because the problem of these guys that the pasuk's talking about is "V'loy also tshuva." That means that if they would have done tshuva, that they would have fixed it. So you see, no less of an authority than Rashi himself, clearly believes that tshuva works for this aveira, because that's what he says. The reason it's compared to murder is because really also tshuva, because they didn't do tshuva. Rice eyes. If they would have done tshuva, it would work. That with tshuva, this is completely forgiven. Nothing else is needed. Tshuva. It doesn't say that you have to die first. Tshuva. Va'ayin oyd b'sefer takonis ha'shoven. There, Reb Tzadik in takonis ha'shoven as a whole, arichas in takonis ha'shoven. Here, Reb Tzadik in takonis ha'shoven has a tremendous arichas in halacha and in chassidus on this inyan, which we have time when we'll learn a little bit from Reb Tzadik. B'sefer Zechrinus, also a tzaddik in his Zechrinus, which is on the mitzvah of Pri Rivya. B'sefer Shem Yishmuel, in Vayigash, and in Mitzvah, and many, many other svarim. There are too many to even enumerate, that there are in hundreds and thousands of places in the Chassidus svarim for sure, not just, because we just saw from the Vilna Gaon, from the Stipler, from Rabbi Yaakov Ander, but in the Chassidus svarim, there are thousands of Makaris that talk about how to be misakin and how to do tshuva. And they all knew what it says in the Zohar and what it says in the Tikkunim. Chomer mikol averus, ayin b'mishnah sa'ezer, mashikasavnu l'inyin tikkun l'chedzer. V'hine b'menoris ha'mo'ar, kosav misha hoitzi shikha v'zer l'vatala b'yad b'regel. Now it's brought down, here we have from one of the old Musa's farm, the menoris ha'mo'ar from Rabbi Yitzhak Abuhav, who writes, somebody who caused himself with his hand or his legs to spill seed, he should fast for 40 days, for the 40 days that it takes for an embryo to form. He should sit in freezing water in the winter. Here's the old school. Not to eat meat and not to drink wine. Kolayis nabramyon for those 40 days. So this is the old program that's found in many of the old Musa's farm. V'loyechol kol maichol cham, not eat any warm food. Levad mishabosi v'tayim, except for Shabbos niyantiv. V'loyichatz b'sar b'mayim, and not to bathe. Ela roishay ma'at pomim, just a little bit to put some water on your head. Kol ois na'abram yom for the entire 40-day period. Okay. That's what I remember hearing when I was a kid. That's what we were mostly taught. U'b'tshuvas igros Moshe, and the tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein, kosav tshuva arucha l'chait niyuf b'yad, v'yitzar shich v'zer l'vatala. It would be kedai to learn that tshuva also in Chelek Dalet, Rav Moshe writes about this avera of pegam habris, of intentional pegam habris. And Rav Moshe ends, after bringing all the makaris, Rav Moshe ends that there's certainly tshuva gemura, to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, it certainly works. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe adds that it is kedai for this person that when he says Kriyishma at night, he should also say, which is found in the Kriyishma of the Arizal, he should also say vidui, and he should confess this avera. And he should verbalize the regret that he has done this, or that he is still struggling with this. It should be Rav Moshe said he should say vidui on a regular basis. If he needs to do on a regular basis, he should say vidui. He should try to be makabel if he can. If he can't, he can't. But he should at least try to get past this and not to do it again the rest of his life. Rav Moshe says that maybe when he's first doing his tshuva, to take 2 days to fast. That's the first year, the second year, afterwards to fast once, every 3 months, and so on. Vein la'achmer b'tanias, Rav Moshe writes not to be strict with fasting. L'tarber b'limud ha'Torah, Rav Moshe says the ikar is to be strong with learning, to increase your learning, whatever you learn. If you learn one Mishnah a day, learn two Mishnahs, whatever it is, to increase your learning. Shazoa eitza yoyse gadoyla, shloy lahav l'day hira ayin sham. That's the strongest eitzah, is limud ha'Torah. V'nei b'kitzur Shulchan Aruch, hevi oy tikunim. In kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he brings other tikunim. L'misha nechshav b'cheit zeh, haksuvim b'sefer Yesod Yosef, where he brings from the Yesod Yosef, which is a sefer on this whole inyan of tikun ha'yesod, asher likeit v'osaf misfarim kadoshim m'kadmon, where the Yesod Yosef brings many other tikkunim that are found in this farm. So we're going to learn these 12 tikkunim. Each one we could spend a year talking about. We're not going to. So let's go through these 12 tikkunim. And each person should think about which tikkunim he can use, which tikkunim are realistic for him. So let's go through them quickly. Aleph. Lahader liyoy sandak shiyemuli yelodim al birkov. That if possible, not to make a machlaikis, of course, but if you have the schus to be a sandak by a bris mila, it's a big thing, it's a big tikkun to be a sandak. See, you see a lot of people, they fight for sandakois. That's not a tikkun for anything to make a machlokes. But if it's possible, even if you're far away and you're invited to be a sandik, it's a chashuv thing. Shiyamil yolodim al birkov, b'fratli a sandik eitzel aniyim, especially to be a sandik by poor people. It's brought down in this farm. To be a sandik by aniyim, by poor people. Usually the sandik, by the way, would also help with aniyim. He would help to pay for the suda. He would help to pay for the meal. It came with the sandakois. The present day sandakoim, they just like to be sandak and then they let somebody else pay. Beis. Lahabais bitstokala aniyim. Now once we're going to learn the Midah of Yesod, which is after this limud, we're going to be spending this year learning the Midah of Yesod in depth, what it is, then all of these tikkunim we're going to understand what does have to why dafke tzedakah. Why davke la'aniyim? I mean, it was tzedakah la'aniyim. Davke is a tikkun. There are many wonderful causes. But old-fashioned tzedakah la'aniyim, that's base. Tzedakah la'aniyim, to give more tzedakah to poor people. Gimel. Lishma Shabbos kil chasai, which means chashving over, learning Hilchos Shabbos carefully. And being more careful with Shmir Shabbos, Ula Angai, and to have an Oynik Shabbos, not just keeping the halachas of Shabbos, also to be have are more of an Einik Shabbos, nicer Sudas, longer Sudas, to add some good food and so on. Ladik Neiris Harbe, to make more light on Shabbos, to light up the house more on Shabbos, to make it more Shabbos, but the Iker is to learn Hilchos Shabbos more carefully, to review, and to be more careful with Shabbos. Again, we'll see how that connects to Davka to Pagam HaBris. It doesn't say here, but all of these are tikkunim for Pagam HaBris. Hey. No, Dalet. L'chabed v'lehoiv loim de Torah. To be mechabed and to love Jews who are learning Torah. One of the things that we have seen erode in modern times is the respect for Talmid Chachamim. The respect for guys that are learning in Kailal, the respect for people that are Rabbanim. There are many kids that grew up and they told me that in their homes, Shabbos meal, half the time was spent speaking Lashon Hara about this Rav, that Rabbi, this is not the right, this Rebbe. I remember there was a Yid, when I grew up, he was a good friend of mine, he was a real Hasidic Yid, and a very, very fine Talmud Chacham. But he would start speaking Lashon Hara about every other Hasidic Rebbe besides. He himself was a chassid of a certain Rebbe. But he would start with every other Rebbe. He left Babov, Lubavitch, Vizhnitz, every other Rebbe he had it in for. And he said crazy stuff, like sick things. That this Rebbe, this famous Rebbe, he would say about this tzaddik, that everybody knows that he used to have with a shivcha in Poland. He was with a shivcha. You know, crazy things. I don't know what the chassidim, this guy, he heard, you know, what these guys were talking about instead of the Yankees and the Mets, they were talking about rabbis. But this guy grew up hearing crazy stuff. Crazy. You know, about the biggest tzaddikim, he had such sick things. And I asked him, you know, he saw that he came out with some crazy thing about a big rabbi. I said, like, aren't you afraid to say stuff like that? You know, this is when I was in high school. I said, look, I'm not such a firm guy, like I'm a modern guy and everything, but don't you get nervous, like, to talk about tzaddik, like about these rabbis like that? He said, no, adarab. He said, part of my being a chassid to my rabbi is to show that the other rabbis are not. I said, I don't know. Who told you that? The rabbi didn't tell you that. Where do you hear such a thing? Like, you read that in Chavetz Chaim somewhere? Who told you could talk about other rabbis? Part of his way of building up his chassidus is to knock other rabbis, but to knock another chassidus. And I had a few, over the years that I was getting older, I had people that they're from chassidus in the day would tell me things, not like this was totally crazy, but like stuff like, you know, there are many ways that you have by some of the chassidim to build up their chassidus, that since they're not seeing so much necessarily by their Rebbe, that they have to knock down the other chassiduses that they have to knock down, because they want to say that our Rebbe is the Rebbe, so your Rebbe is, but even when it's not by chassidim, they stand by Amcha. They did not chassidim. Many, in my house growing up, if I said one word to open my mouth, because there was a time that I was hearing there were people that were blasting this, you know, Satmar chassidim, because I went to a modern yeshiva, and they were blasting Satmar, and I started once at the Shabbos table. I remember, because I was around 14, and I remember I started to say something about the Satmar Rebbe, and my father said, what? Do you know who you're talking about? My father said, leave. He sent me away from the Shabbos table. Bench, you're done. Finished. Because I started to say one word about Satmar. I don't even know what I said about the Rebbe. I think I started to say about something with the Satmar Chassidus. And my father said, bench, finished. The lunch is done. Go bench and get out of here. But the Satmar Rebbe, my father then he was telling me afterwards, said, you know what you're starting up with fire? Amal Hashem Savokais. My father said, I remember him when we were young men. In Europe, I remember him. And everybody was afraid of him. That the biggest tzaddikim were afraid of his fire. And you're a pisher. You start to talk to me about the Satmar Rebbe. What do you think? Who are you? What do you know? Unfortunately, many, many people were raised in homes where it wasn't like that. And they heard people talking about rabbis because the same, my father was strict. I couldn't talk about rabbis, and I also couldn't talk even about the rabbi of the shul where we were. I wasn't allowed to talk about that either. And I had a lot of good stuff to talk about. There was a lot of good material, and I wasn't allowed to talk about it. We had to just talk with the guys. I wasn't allowed to talk to my father in my house. My mother wanted to. My father also. Shvayeg. Nothing to talk about rabbis, about rabbanim. very much connected, because the tzaddik is tzaddik yisod olam. The Rav, the Rebbe, the Mashpia is the midah of yisod. You talk bad about rabbis, you talk bad about rabbanim, about tzaddikim, especially about tzaddikim. I mean, that's crazy. That's suicide. But even if it's not tzaddikim, stop. You talk about Talmidei Chachamim, people are learning Torah. You say negative things about Bnei Torah and so on. It's Pagam Habris Mamish. So therefore, the Yisod Yosef brings down one of the tikkunim is L'chabed V'lehav L'Omdei Torah. To be mechabed Rabbanim. To mechabed Jews that learn Torah. To try and to give money to help yeshivas, to build up learning of Torah, to put out Svarim, and so on. And to be mechabed Talmidei Chachamim. It's a big tikkun. To be mechabed Talmidei Chachamim. Hey. L'spalel b'kavana u'bebechi. To daven with more kavana. Even to bring yourself, if possible, that such kavana that you cry. It means real tears, not making believe. To daven, serious. Vav. Livchor b'midas ha'anava. To choose to live a life of humility. This, with learning Torah, is the strongest. V'kasha yishma shemachafen aysay. And if there are people that are insulting you, or somebody said something bad about you, yishtoik v'yimchol, to be quiet and to be marichal, the most powerful tikkun. Here you're somebody that's poigim in the bris, which is, the Mechaber says, oven chomer shabbatayr, which is a very, very, very serious pagam between you and Hashem. Have some humility. Be a person that doesn't answer back people. If someone insults you, if someone says something about you, be quiet, let it go, and forgive him. It's powerful, powerful, powerful tikkun. Humility. That's a life's work. Humility. Zayin. Kashi yase eze mitzvah, yase b'korcha b'zrizis. Ad shiyis chamein ba. The same way that when you were doing that aveira, you were passionate, and it brings out a certain heat. When you're doing that aveira of Pagam HaBris, start to at least pick one mitzvah, if you can. If you can do more, great, but at least one mitzvah, that you do that mitzvah with a passion, mamish with a passion. And try that it shouldn't be only something like lulav, you know, a couple of days of the year, or tkiya shofar, you know, this year it's one day of the year. That's not such a big... I mean, it's chashuv. But try to take a mitzvah that you do, like tzitzis or tefillin, you know, that's every day, or at least on a kid, there's something that's on a regular basis. Not you're going to keep yovel with a passion, you know. You're going to keep shmita, you're very stark with shmita. You know, it says, keep a mitzvah in such a way and do it, the koach, strong, or the zrizis, ad shi yischam meimbo. You perspire. It's always an interesting thing to me. Wherever I'm davening in shul, it's not like that because I have to daven by the wall. But usually, all the years my daven, I always like to daven my window. And it's an interesting thing. When you stand by the window, it's better not to look sometimes, but you know, you can't help it. You'll see that it's, like, let's say davening started, let's say 9 o'clock. And you see some guy walking like at 9:30, admiring the trees, like with a cup of coffee. Sometimes he's got the talus already, you know, over his shoulder, like he's in a hurry. He's got the talus over his shoulder. Davening started already half an hour ago. And the guy's like walking with a coffee, with a talus over his shoulder, sometimes with a friend, and they're schmoozing. The guy's a half hour late. And every week, same story plays itself out. So one of the tikkunim for this pagam, of pagam abris, is you take a mitzvah, go to shul early, run to shul, perspire a little bit. Take a mitzvah and do it in a way that it makes you perspire. The same way when you did the aveira, it got you heated up. When you do a mitzvah in such a way that it heats you up. You do it with a bren, with a fire. Especially when it comes to baking matzahs for Pesach. Also, each one I said we could talk about for a year, especially when it comes to baking matzahs for Pesach. Don't be afraid to get close to the oven and work hard on it. and work hard on it. That perspiration, also cleaning for Pesach, it's a huge tikkun. Not going in the car to the hotel with the air conditioner running. That's not a tikkun, that's part of the pagan. Being in your house and cleaning for Pesach, cleaning good for Pesach, and schwitzing over the preparations for Pesach. That's a huge tikkun. L'gadol bonav l'talmud Torah. To send your kids to yeshiva. L'adricham b'yishamayim, to raise the children in the way of yishamayim. L'gadol yosem b'sarich beso, to help an orphan, to help orphans. If you can, you need to raise a child, an orphan, in your own house. Yisnai imo k'mayim b'noyim, to raise it like it's your own kid. These are tikkunim. Because those are for the children that you forfeited through Pgama Bris, those babies that you, they were in the seed, so to speak. They were hidden in your seed. Now you raise these children in yeshiva. You take care of Yasim and Yasima. Lasek b'mitzvah achnasas kala. You help to make a chasana. Because achnasas kala, you're making, because you were pogim in the bris. And as a result of that, there were babies that, so to speak, didn't come to the world. So now you raise money for achnasas kala. You have machnas kala, achnasas kala. By doing that, you're making another Jewish family. You're helping another Jewish family. There'll be more children, and so on. All of these are tikkunim. Tes. La'alas the Torah kol apachas pamachas b'kol chaydash. Got to be careful with this one. Try to get an aliyah at least once a month. That's not the highest one on this list. You got to be careful. It's a choshev thing, but you got to be careful with that. Again, it's not to make machlokes. And don't go up there and don't tell the guy by, you got to let me do this because I'm paying my bris, you understand? Don't do that. Bad. The Yivarach has a brachas b'kol. And when you go up, and when you go up to get the aliyah, you make the bracha loud. Gam yistaka b'torah. And follow the balkare inside when he's laying. Watch the words inside. V'yikur b'lachashim akar. And laying together. It's always good to do that. But especially for this tikkun. Laying together with the balkare. Don't do it loud, you mess the guy up. But quietly, under your breath, you're laying together with the balkare. Let's just take another 2 minutes to finish these. Yud. Liyos min ha'asar rishonim b'es ha'knesses. To be from the first 10 Jews in shul. Ha'asar rishonim, huge tikkun. To be from the first 10 in shul. Yud Aleph. Lamed b'chatzois layla. To make a tikkun chatzois every now and then. La says tikkun chatzois b'bechi, a serious, sincere tikkun chatzois. In America, we grew up, we never heard, we never saw what's tikkun chatzois. To make a tikkun chatzois. So if you can't make a tikkun chatzos at night, it's hard for you. All right, nowadays, midnight's not such a big deal. Chatzos is not such a big deal. Make it chatzos even in the day. Whatever it is, make a tikkun chatzos. And here we come to a big one. Since the midah of yesod is shalom, is being at peace with people, and the midah of shalom with your wife, and shalom with your kids, yud beis le'ohev shalom, v'le'odev shalom. To love shalom and lirdei shalom and to run after shalom and to run after shalom. Or b'sefer kranei digrus kosev of the ikar tikkun lechayet zeu Torah. Or fad yigias haTorah. The disciple said the biggest of all the tikkunim is to learn Torah and to learn be yigias haTorah, to be iyun, to learn Torah in depth, and to work hard at learning. Heinuk shaloi megam b'shalosh she'en lo tanig me'alimut, and to even learn when you're not enjoying the learning, it's killing you. This gemara is a hard gemara. This learning that I'm doing is, I don't want to do this. It's hard for me. I'd rather learn something that's fun. No, you work hard at it. You get through the Gemara. You figure it out. You work at it. I'm learning because Hashem told me to learn, not because I always enjoy it. Especially Yichazi, you're learning. Yichazi the Gemara a number of times. You don't enjoy that. You want to learn a new Gemara. You force yourself to chazal the learning. You're learning. A taisus, you'd rather go on. No, break yourself. Learn the taisus. Understand the pshat. But daf kuflam and zayin kosev zon, she has lost his tikkun and mahu b'svam, hainu luma mishnayis, especially to learn a lot of mishnayis. Mishnayis is a tikkun for everything. Especially mishnayis, mishnayis kelim, bi'iyun. Doesn't have to be, but especially to learn mishnayis kelim, to learn it bi'iyun, b'hamaka kvi yecholta, to learn mishnayis kelim, in a deep way. Again, we're not going to why daf kelim, but Mishnayis is a huge tikkun to learn Mishnayis. There should be a storm in all the shuls everywhere nowadays, and all the yeshivas, they're learning more Mishnayis. There's not enough Mishnayis. We have Baruch Hashem And you should, it's a new year, you should know that in the shul, you have not, some of you know that Dovi Newman has been teaching Mishnayos, is a Mishnayos Chabur on the phone. He's learning Mishnayos unbelievably. He already went through the whole Seder Zorim, which is a huge tikkun. All Seder Zorim, they're learning Mishnayos. Mishnayos is a huge thing. They should be learning Mishnayos Be'iyun Rav also. I mean, the Mishnayos you learn quickly, but to learn Mishnayos in depth, to learn Mishnayos Be'iyun, it's a tremendous tikkun for this Indian, for our generation, to learn Mishnayos, and to learn Mishnayos well, to learn them properly, to learn the Be'iyun, those who have a seichel to memorize Mishnayos. When a person's walking in the street and you see something, but not to see anything, to have Mishnayos, that you could always go and to say in your head Mishnayos Baal Peh. It's not just for kids in Pirchei. You know, to learn Mishnayos Baal Peh, it's a big thing. To know Mishnayos, a huge, huge tikkun. All right, next week, Mr. Shem, we're going to learn a little bit, go back to the Sefer Chassidim, and to learn more Pshat in the Sefer Chassidim that we learned. And then we're going to begin, Mr. Shem, after that. Maybe we'll do a little bit of Tzaddik, I'm not sure. It might be a little bit too complicated, I'll see. And then we're going to start to learn the Minyan in time for Yontif to begin to be Isaac in the Limudim of what Yesod is, the Midah of Yesod. Okay, everybody, Shuvim Hatzlich, Shav Siyata Deshmayim.